Good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH. If you need health care or health care coverage, or if you're having problems with the coverage you've got and you don't know how to handle it because, you know, health care, it's crazy, you have to call the Office of the Healthcare Advocate right here in Connecticut. It's an independent agency, and they will help you understand what kind of options you have, how you can fight for health care coverage, including coverage for mental health or substance abuse treatment. So to make sure you get covered, all your health care needs. It's really one of the most amazing parts of Connecticut. I really, I feel like we're blessed that we have this kind of service because the only interest of your department is the consumer. Joining us, I'm talking to Mr. Ted Doolittle, healthcare advocate for the state of Connecticut. Hi there.
Hi, great to be here.
You really have the best kept secret going in Connecticut. This whole platform is really amazing. And before we started the program today, you told me, you know, we're one of the very few states in the union that have this program.
That's right. It was started in its initial form in 1999 as the Ombudsman for Medical Affairs. But then in 2005, under Governor Rell, there was a bipartisan bill that changed it to the current iteration, which is called the Office of the Healthcare Advocate. So we have a staff of nurses, attorneys, paralegals, and others that can represent people who are having problems with their health insurance.
So and it's all forms of health insurance, you know?
All forms. We certainly do the public plans as well, Medicare, Medicaid, any type of health insurance where you've got a claim denied, you have some other enrollment issue or billing issue, anything having to do with health insurance, public or private. So that's Husky, Medicare, or through your employer or through the ACA Marketplace Exchange. You can definitely look us up at the Connecticut Office of the Healthcare Advocate.
And this is, I mean, when I say all kinds of healthcare, it's not just brand names, but like any form of it, whether it's you're looking for health insurance coverage, or if you're trying to figure out pre-authorization processes, or if you've already had something did by your, which we all know it happens.
Yes,
they speak
does.
Another language, and then all of them have their own individual language beyond that. So this is really, you know, it's a confusing thing, healthcare in general. So if you're not sure what to do, you contact the Office of the Healthcare Advocate, and they'll help you with things like, you know, coverage situations, or if you need explanations about benefits or program, or even coverage definitions.
Absolutely. Some of our calls, Mary, really are short. They're what we call a coaching call. Maybe somebody they've never had health insurance before. They're not sure what a deductible is or how it works. We can simply give them some information about how their health plan functions, and then that's a 5-minute call.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of the spectrum is a family who's got a kid with cancer, and they're in a multi-year struggle, and there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of claims. And in those situations, we can have a relationship with that family for.
Because it is. I mean, it's difficult because we go through is this a pre-existing condition? Are we covered under this condition? Why is that where I switched insurances and it used to be covered under one insurance and now this new insurance doesn't cover the exact same thing? And you're like, why? Yeah. It's already all been justified. Yeah. We've all got it all figured out.
Yeah. We can't win them all. We've got, as I said, nurses, paralegals, consumer information reps, and attorneys. We can't win them all, but as you said, it's complicated. There can be medical issues involved. There can be legal issues involved. And the gobbledygook, the boilerplate, you know, it's impact.
It's amazing that the insurance industry, healthcare in general, to me, can get away with not having like a standard basis that we all, you know, we all cook the recipe the same exact way. You know, but with the same language, the same format, instead of one's using metric, one's using this, one's speaking in Mandarin, one's speaking in another language. You know, it's just so amazing to me that they it feels like trickery.
Well, it's complicated. And, you know, you've hit on a point. You can have, let's say, here in state our dominant insurers, Anthem. You can have your Anthem insurance through your employer. Your neighbor across the street can have Anthem insurance through her employer. A doctor who's in network for you might not be in network for her.
Funny the things I've learned since I had first learned about your office. And because I did have a problem getting coverage for one of my kids, and it was mine was a quick phone call. It was call your insurance company back and explain this to them. And then they ended up getting back to me and covering what should have been covered in the first place. So I was one of those coaching calls, and I thank your office for that. It's helpful. But the explanation of benefits that you get from one company to is just crazy. My husband, for instance, I've learned now that I have, you know, so-and-so insurance from Pennsylvania, but so-and-so insurance can be from Florida. So it's the same exact name. So you're like, oh, I have whatever, you know, Bob's insurance. But, oh, do you have Bob's insurance from this? Is it a PPO? Is it a PP this? Is it? So the same company, because it's in a different state, follows the mandates of the state that it's based out of, not the state you're in.
Well, that's exactly right. You're exactly right about that. And even though we're a state agency, you know, if we have the plans from the same company in different states, might have different, for instance, authorization to allow us to represent the consumer. So it is very complicated. One thing too that makes it really more unfair is that the people who are hit with the highest claims, right? Those people are under stress because they're sick or a loved one is sick. Yeah. And right at that time, you also have to deal with the financial fallout. It's very unfair.
What I do now, and it may not work for everybody, I call and I basically insurance company before I do anything. I'm like, is this covered? Are you sure this is covered? Who am I talking to? What's your extension? What's the code on that? And I don't think a lot of people realize, like my husband got blood work sent back. Got denied by our insurance, like a basic blood panel, you know, a CDC panel, whatever it's called. And it got denied because the doctor's office didn't code it the way that the insurance company wanted it coded specifically. But the doctor's office was coding it the same way it codes it for everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, okay, I got you. And so now I do everything. I'm a preemptive striker.
Yeah. Well, you do have to really be a bulldog on this. But as I said, if you're sick, or you don't have to be sick, but I'm saying if you're under stress and strain, try to get rid of that part and come to us. Here are some statistics that I saw recently. The Federal Health and Human Services Department, their inspector general just put out a report. It was focused just on the Medicare Advantage plans, the Medicare Part C plans, where you can buy your Medicare from private companies like Anthem or United Health Group or what have you. But I do think that the statistics that I'm about to tell you do apply to other commercial insurance as well. They did a study of the denials, the claim denial for Medicare Advantage plans, and they found that only 1% of the denials were ever appealed. 1% was ever appealed.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting, but listen, it gets interesting. Of that 1% that are appealed, 75% are either fully or partly reversed.
Wow.
So are you telling me that the other 99% are all good?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So go ahead and push back. The level of success is
you got to try.
That's what you were saying before. You have to try. And again, if you can do it on your own, that's great. You want a little coaching from us, and then you do it on your own, that's great. If you want to hand the matter off to us and you give us the permissions, we can handle that headache for you.
Well, my $120 blood panel, nothing in compared to somebody who has breast cancer or leukemia or is the diabetic and fighting multi-doctor challenges between endocrinologists and PCPs. You know, there's a lot more in-depth healthcare problems out there than a blood. I was lucky. Mine was just a blood panel bill.
Right, right. Typically, one thing for people to be aware of, there's no hard and fast rule for how small of a case we will take. But generally speaking, if you've got a claim of $100 or less, we're going to give you coaching and support, but we're not going to necessarily take that case unless there's some larger issue, a policy issue that we want to get involved in or have an impact on, because we do have such a busy office. We have, on average, about 6,000 calls or complaints per year, and some of them are small, but some of them are large. So we are stretched relatively thin. I just give the men and women of the office so much credit.
They do handle a lot of people calling in. You do more than just denials of claims and stuff like that, but you're helping people, you know, managed care laws, and you get involved with the General Assembly and law. place in the legislature right now in the state of Connecticut?
Yeah, we are charged with being the voice of the Connecticut consumer on health care and health insurance policy. So you're absolutely right. We try to stay engaged, and right now the legislature is in session and things are cranking at a very high level. There's a new governor and a new legislature there. We also try to keep good relations with industry, by which I mean the insurance industry.
We are
as well as the hospital industry and the other providers.
So you've got to basically do everything. You've got to know a little bit about politics and the legislature, right, and how to handle things like that. You've got to know an awful lot about medical issues, then insurance, then know about the politics and business side of medical facilities as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I mentioned before, you know, we have on staff nurses. They'll help issues. And then we have the attorneys who are going to help with the more legal types of issues. So, yeah, we do have to have a broad range of capabilities. We've got to be a utility infield player.
Now, if you're just joining us today on Spotlight, we are talking to Mr. Ted Doolittle. He is the healthcare advocate for the state of Connecticut. Now, we're talking about healthcare needs, whether you're looking for a plan or whether you've had a lapse in coverage, or if you're having a problem with the coverage that you do have. The Healthcare Advocate is an independent agency that helps you figure out big problems, little problems, whether it be coaching or really coming in and helping someone. So now let's talk about it. If someone calls you up, what's the process that happens when someone's looking for a question answered? First of all, the toll-free number for the Healthcare Advocate is 1-866-466-4446. Wow, how does a regular phone conversation go?
So normally, because we're so busy, it's going to go to our voicemail.
Okay.
You might get a live answer, but normally it's going to go to the voicemail. You're going to leave your information, how we can call you back, and perhaps a little bit about your problem.
A synopsis,
right. And we're going to call you back either that day or, depending on the time of day, the next day. And one of our shock troops, so to speak, is going to get that first information, get your demographic information.
A triage, kind of.
And then they're going to take that information. It's going to go actually to our triage manager, who's a nurse by professional background. She's got many years of nursing experience, but also has been doing this for many years. And she's going to try to assess that case. You can't get all the information in the first phone call because it's too complicated. She's going to assess that case and determine, is this best for one of our attorneys? Is this a paralegal case? Is this a nurse case to somebody? And then you'll have the relationship with that person going forward.
And that's the first step to getting help. So you get through to the line, they assess your situation and whether you're going to be a coaching call or otherwise. But, you know, if they do take the next step, if you do have a coverage process and you do have a complaint, you know, these are the people who are going to have the procedure down and what the next step in the process is, and making sure that the service is not in your health plan contract, because you might not even know, you know, that this is all the knowledge you guys have. Yeah. You really know a lot about a lot.
We do. And sometimes, even if we try not to give up, Mary, we want to try to get to yes if we can. If the case is winnable, we want to win it. And we wind up, you know, often, even if a matter is excluded, something is excluded, we will still try to get to somebody inside that company, plead your case, see if we can get what's called a one-time exception. You know, perhaps you didn't understand the plan. You went to the doctor, you thought it was covered, and you can show that you had a good faith basis for thinking it was covered. Maybe we can get somebody to look kindly on you, even if it's excluded. That doesn't work all the time. But the point I'm making is we go all the way to the end of the case for you.
And if you do have a complaint, you know, you go through the process with people, you know, the first step for them is talk to your doctor, because sometimes the doctor's office can manage it, like I did with my husband. We recoded it the right way that the insurance company wanted it coded. It was the exact same, different language.
Right.
You know, it's so it's just amazing how sometimes it's just a simple first step.
I should mention that, you know, we do help providers as well. As you just alluded to, they off in the doctor's offices or the hospitals or whatever the provider might be, they are doing, sometimes they can have their own appeals, mm-hmm. right? The provider can have their own appeals. And sometimes we can help them with that as well. We're, our focus is mostly on consumers, but we certainly do work with providers as well. So if somebody out there is a nurse or a billing specialist with an office, and they get to a particularly knotty case, and they think maybe if maybe a call or a letter from the state of Connecticut might get the attention of the insurance company, we're happy to discuss that.
And your the next step would be calling your health care plan as well, because I do that all the time, and I call them and I say, listen, help me figure this out. Help me help you. Help me again.
That's right.
And sometimes it's as easy as a phone call. That complaint will probably be recorded by the insurance company. And that's their way of monitoring their customer service. And, you know, they all want the good customer service rating as well. So they might be more inclined to help you because you tried, first of all.
Yep.
And second of all, because it might be something that can be ironed out pretty quickly.
Yeah. So let's go back to the statistics I gave before. Of the claims that are, many of them do get some type of reversal or
partial or full.
Partial or full. Not all. But the point is that just picking up the gloves and saying, I'm going to fight this, is the important first step.
Okay. And then something I've also done is call your employer. Because your human resource department or your benefits manager, sometimes they have the answer to questions that are specific to your plan. And if there's something that needs to be worked out, getting your work involved on a plan, when you work for a big company that has a massive plan with a company, they might be more likely to help out too.
That's a great point, Mary. And sometimes when we arrive at the end of the case and we determine that a service is not covered, if it's an employer-based plan, we sometimes will then go to the employer and say, look, are you aware of how the insurance company is administering your plan, and are you comfortable with it?
Yeah.
And from time to time, not always, but from time to time, the benefits manager or the president of the company will be surprised that his or her employees are getting this type of denial, and then will instruct the insurance company in some cases not just to allow that person to have the claim, but to change the policy.
I'll tell you, for instance,
yeah.
is that a company that I worked for had an insurance policy in another state, not here in Connecticut, and the insurance policy didn't cover occupational therapy, speech therapy, for someone who fell under the autism spectrum. So that's an autism diagnosis, not a PPD-NOS, which is kind of like a diagnosis that they're not really sure. They haven't categorized it yet. But once someone's diagnosed with autism, they require services. And that company out of the state, wherever they were, didn't recognize autism mm-hmm. as a medical issue that required services. The state of Connecticut does. And so the company actually ended up going back and telling them, you have to cover these things. You have to give, you know, 20 visits of therapy for this and 20 visits of therapy for that. And they actually made a big difference by contacting the HR, who contacted someone else and went to, like, the big HR person for
right.
the whole company.
Right. Right.
You know, so it's those kind of things. Sometimes big companies don't know.
They don't.
And, you know, you've got places all over, you know, the state to state. We have different rules.
One anecdote along the same lines is we were representing a woman who had her insurance through a Fortune, like, 50 company.
Wow.
A household name that I won't mention. But she and her husband were going through infertility difficulties, and they were doing IVF, in vitro fertilization. Mm-hmm. And they, for medical reasons, needed to use a surrogate. They needed a surrogate to carry the baby, and this insurance company did not. And it was, in fact, accurate that that it probably wasn't covered. So at the end of that case, we went to the HR and to the leadership of this multinational global corporation and informed them, this is how your plan is being administered. Your employees do not have surrogacy benefits. Are you comfortable with that? They conferred internally a couple weeks later. They called us back and said, actually, we're not comfortable with that. We're going to approve it not just for this lady, but we're going to change the global company policy.
Wow, a Fortune 50 company.
You know, so this is hundreds of thousands of employees across the globe who now have a benefit based on somebody trying to pick up the gloves and take matters in their own hands. It doesn't work all the time.
No.
But it can.
But who knows? That's what you always, what do they always say? You can't get a yes unless you ask.
Exactly.
So who knows? Now, if somebody is looking, you know, to find healthcare plans, how do you guys keep track of all healthcare plans? How do you help someone with something like that? There's a lot out there.
There is a lot. Part of your initial phone call is actually going to be us asking as much as you know about your health plan. In other words, we need to find out whether you bought it on the exchange or whether you have it through your employer or whether you're on a Medicare or Medicaid plan. All those things can have dramatic how in your rights, because if you work for a large employer, you're likely to be in what's called a self-funded plan. Those are all federally regulated by the Department of Labor, believe
it
or not.
I never knew any of this.
Right. But meanwhile, if you're in a smaller company and you're what's called fully insured, or you've bought your own insurance, now you're regulated by the state of Connecticut, and that's a whole different ballgame.
Two different languages again.
Again, yeah. The complexity is really amazing, and it's not productive.
Why can't we fix this? I mean, I know I know you're like, okay, Gary, way to take that one bite at a time.
Well, you know, I don't need to tell you, Mary, we've been locked in this debate in this country about healthcare being a top issue that people are talking about in terms of legislation and regulation. There's still we're still in the midst of that. Right now, in this session, there's a lot of activity over trying to introduce some type of public option, perhaps using one of the state plans, like a state employee plan or another plan, to allow consumers to buy in. I'm not sure whether that, in fact, would be the silver bullet. I don't know that that would make the coverage cheaper. But the point I'm making is that at this state level and at the federal level, there are a lot of people that recognize the complexity, recognize we need to do something. All of the other advanced countries that are our direct economic competitors do have systems that generate the same quality, perhaps even better quality healthcare at half the cost. So we can do better because every other country that's our economic competitor, be it Canada or Australia or
Sweden,
France,
Norway,
whoever, they're delivering equal or better quality care at half the price or less. So we can do better.
And if we all get in on it together, isn't that the deal? Like the more, like 50 companies that have all those people paying into, you know, a company plan, the more people you have, the less expensive it's going to cost. So what if we all get together, you know, and for people who don't have insurance through their work and have to buy through, you know, the marketplace?
I think the key in terms of getting the health expenses down, and health insurance is expensive because the health care is expensive.
Yes.
You know, the key is going to be getting to 100% coverage, which, again, is what all of our advanced economic competitors have. Everybody there is covered.
Nobody worries about it.
And the point you just made, when everybody is in that pool, that's when you can start working on making it cheaper.
Yeah.
If people are not in the pool,
you don't get a chance to lower the rates.
You don't get a chance to lower rates. They're outside the pool. They don't get the health care. They get super sick. They come in. It's a hugely expensive case, and the costs go up. Everybody else has to pitch in some way to support that.
There's got to be some way to get that figured out. Boy, that's for sure.
Every other country does it in a way that is more successful. I'm not saying that the other countries don't have their own problems. Everybody has their own problems. They're doing the same quality or better care at half the price. So.
And this isn't, you know, if you get health insurance through your work, awesome.
Yeah.
You know, use your health insurance benefits that your employer, you know, gives you and that you pay into and they pay into. That's awesome. But there are so many people out there that are working, you know, 3 part-time jobs that don't have that benefit.
Yeah.
You know, and can't buy into their workplace insurance. So they need to go to the marketplace.
One thing about your workplace insurance is you're paying your premium, but your employer is also putting in, and they're typically putting in, believe it or not, much more than you do. that kind of hides the cost in a way. And there are certain people that say if we move to some type of single-payer system, that would enable a family, and these are real numbers, a family who is paying $5,000 out of pocket for their premium, but then their employers may be paying $26,000. It would enable that employer to give them a raise. That $26,000, which they're paying for that employer's employee's health care, go to a salary bump.
It's amazing the things that I could ask you about, like the differences between FSAs and HSAs, and how much I've learned and what's covered. Like I'm still amazed at things that I think are covered and I can pay with my HSA card and a high deductible plan that I can't. You know, the differences are uncanny.
They are, and every solution adds complexity, it seems, and to the extent that we can get toward solutions that are simpler. To me, that's where we should be headed.
Absolutely. And that's why we're grateful. The state of Connecticut should be grateful that we have the Office of the Healthcare Advocate for the state of Connecticut. And you guys are, you know, constantly doing great things. And like I said, working with the legislature, trying to figure things out, working with medical, you know, hospitals and facilities, and trying to make sure that, you know, the state of Connecticut, our health matters. This is, you know, got your health, you got your wealth, right?
There you are. And you don't know until it's taken away. So you gotta be proactive. You got to get your coverage. You got to be aggressive about making sure your family and friends get some type of coverage, because that's when the crisis can really happen, is when somebody's uninsured.
No
and,
insurance.
And the worst happens.
Now, if anybody wants to get in touch with you guys in your office, I have a P.O. box for mailing. But the best way is?
It certainly is to call us on our toll-free number, which is 866-466-4446. That's 866-466-4446. Or absolutely go to our website.
I've been popping through the website all morning. It's ct.gov/OHA. And if you're in and you're driving, don't worry about the phone number, which, again, I'll say it, 866-HMO-4446. And the website, I'll have all of this up at WRCH.com. It'll be easy for you to click on, because I'm always like, people in the car, like, I'm driving. When am I going to write this down?
If they Google Office of the Healthcare Advocate, or
it pops
or
right up
favorite
first,
search
right?
engine, let's put it that way. Favorite search engine, Office of Healthcare Advocate, they're gonna come right up to us.
And the website really explains what you do, who you're doing it for, and then it breaks it down to, you know,
and there's
the
an
sections.
Online complaint form too as well. If you don't want to
so
do
you can
the,
start the process.
And that's
right
a terrific
there.
Way. In many ways, that is truly the best way, because it's a process, but absolutely call us or use the online complaint form.
Yeah, and you can find out everything, like I said, between knowing your rights, choosing health care plans, coverage problems. If you work at a doctor's office and you've got a question, you're like, you know what, I'm stuck on this thing with this patient, I can't figure it out. This is really the place you call with health care problems. The services are free, and you really are, you know, it's such a blessing to the state of Connecticut. Really, you are the best kept secret going on. You really are.
Yeah, I know we are.
Is amazing, too. So kudos to them as
I'm
well.
I'm very proud of them.
So again, it's the Office of the Healthcare Advocate at ct.gov, and you can give them a call at 1-866-HMO-4446. Mr. Ted Doolittle, Healthcare Advocate for the state of Connecticut, I really appreciate you coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in this morning to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH.